Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Grill, where we serve you the hottest takes for the 2019 fantasy baseball season. This week is going to be an extra special edition with a bigger helping of hot takes, because we'll be doing both our second base and our shortstop previews for this season. On the news docket, we have the largest contract in MLB history, and the season began in Japan with a series between the Mariners and the Athletics. This week, I'll be joined by my co-host, as always, Jamie Branje. Jamie, how's it going?
It's going very well. Good week. Very good week, obviously, now that we finally have real baseball being played again. We got to see two pretty good games out in Japan this week. Just getting here from eating a nice helping of sushi today, so we've gotten everything that we need for some comfortable baseball discussion, or so I hope.
Well, since you mentioned sushi, let's just dive right into those Japan games. That's a perfect segue.
So I try.
We've had two games so far out in Japan. Of course, the big storyline there is the retirement of Ichiro Suzuki. Great moment for him in this morning's game. He was taken out of the game, and you know the fans and the entire team, they gave him a standing ovation for what it's felt like an eternity. It was a great moment, and you can actually see the Mariners pitcher Kikuchi crying as he gave him a hug as he walked off the field.
That was the most, I think that was the most interesting or, cool part for me. Like, it had me in tears, honestly. But when you think about it, like, he's been with the team for one spring training. They've played two major league games together, and he's crying as he's hugging Ichiro coming off the field. It's like, he's like a myth. He's a legend in terms of Japanese baseball. And then he came out, I think it was 30 minutes after the game had ended, they said, and the stadium was still full. And they walked around the whole field for about five minutes or so. I watched a video of it for a little bit. He just walked around the field, and they just stood there and cheered for him the whole time Ichiro was walking around the field. We're going to talk about Mike Trout in a moment, and we've got a lot to say about Mike Trout, obviously, but I don't think there's ever going to be a point where people in the States are going to revere Mike Trout the way that people in Japan have revered and loved and cherished everything that Ichiro has done for Japan and the sport of baseball as a whole. Like, it's unbelievable to watch. Like, it really got to me when Kikuchi started crying as he walked away. Like, that was just, that was a really cool shot. That was just incredible.
Jeez, I mean, as it is, people, even in America, people are revering Ichiro more than they do Trout.
Yeah.
But, we'll talk a little bit about the players in the games too. Since this is a fantasy podcast, we'll talk about some of the performances through those first two games. Mm-hmm. One that stood out to me was, in Wednesday's game, Domingo Santana had a really good debut after not really playing that much last season. Hit a grand slam. He went, 1-for-5. So he had the one hit, but it was a grand slam. He made it count.
It was a big one, yeah.
Some other notable performances for the Mariners. Marco Gonzalez had a pretty good start. Had the quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs. Got the win. The Mariners bullpen didn't make it easy on him. They almost gave up the lead going into the 9th, but Hunter Strickland shut the door, got his first save. He actually might be a cheap source of saves. Nobody wants to go to Seattle for saves this year, but if you're looking for saves, Hunter Strickland might be a good cheap option as well.
Yeah, somebody's got to get them, right? You have to have somebody get your saves. So something you can look for cheap in fantasy baseball.
For sure. Any other performances you noticed from that first that Wednesday game?
Well, it was a very good start to the year for Matt Chapman, a guy that a lot of people are looking for more out of this year. People are thinking that he could become kind of the upper echelon of third baseman. I'm sure we're going to mention him next week when we do the full third base preview. He was very good, 2-for-4. He scored drove in three runs, scored two himself. So he had a very nifty game. Chris Davis, who we've come to expect the same thing from year after year with his batting average being at .247 every season that he plays, he hit a opening day home run for the third season in a row, which apparently the record is 4, so we'll look into that for next year. But a couple of good games for Oakland, despite the fact that they lost both games. They had some guys put up some good starts to the season. So just, I'll say it again, exciting, glad, relieved that we finally have real baseball being played.
Yeah, just give us the full season now. I don't want to have to wait till next week. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, next up on the docket, we have, of course, the Mike Trout contract signed with the Angels on Tuesday, 12 years, $430 million. Bryce Harper's not happy about this one, but hey, what are you going to do? Mike Trout's better than you.
Yeah, should play a little bit better then, right?
Yes, this was absolutely the biggest contract in MLB history, and sports history, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe some soccer ones, but
no, there's never been a contract worth more than $430 million across any sport.
I think, yeah, well, he definitely deserves it. Trout is, well, I don't know how some of the old guard might feel about this one, but based on WAR, what he's done so far in his career, he is on pace to be the best baseball player of all time.
Yep.
I can hear some of the old guard coming down the hallway chasing me down right now.
I know of who you speak in particular.
Yep, there's one particular person who's going to come find me, but I think based on what he's done, how he's absolutely carried the Angels over the last, you know, his entire career, it's incredible, and he's absolutely earned that contract.
Yeah. A lot of people like to talk about contracts in terms of value for wins above replacement, where they put roughly one win above replacement is worth $8 million in terms of contract. So if you're paying somebody $40 million a year, you're getting five wins above. You're getting an all-star towards MVP. If Mike Trout were to be paid what he's worth in terms of wins above replacement, where he averages about 9 per season, they should be paying him in the $70 to $80 million per year range. So at 35.8 per year, people are still going to argue that they're getting a discount on Mike Trout. And another funny thing that I saw, I don't know if you read this or not, it was mentioned by, I think it was Barstool. They pointed out that just by dollar value alone, his contract matches or is worth more than 8 NHL franchises, which is kind of hilarious.
It doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't surprise me. I think in the same wavelength there, I think the Angels owner, Artie Moreno, he bought the team however long ago it was for $180 million. So I think he and Trout were joking around that he could have bought the team twice with his current contract, which is just mind-blowing when you think about it.
Yeah,
just big contract. But that's all we have for news this week. Let's jump right into the second base preview. So as always, we'll go through our own top 10s, and we'll compare that to the Fantasy Pros top 10. So I'll just rattle off quickly the Fantasy Pros top 10 here for second base. Up at the top, you have Jose Ramirez, then followed by Jose Altuve, Javier Baez, Whit Merrifield at number 4, Braves second baseman Ozzy Albies at number 5, Adalberto Mondesi at number 6, Gleyber Torres, Matt Carpenter at 7-8, and then Daniel Murphy and Scooter Jeanette at 9-10. My list is pretty close to this one. I don't have any really egregious changes here, except maybe to Mondesi, but Mondesi's not, he's not even on your list, so I'm going to let you.
He doesn't belong in there. Definitely not.
I'm going to let you take this one.
Well, if we want to jump right into it for the butts, and obviously we're going to be posting both of our lists, so you can take a look at everything that we thought about it. I had one other major change, which I'm kind of shocked that Fantasy Pros did this, but they didn't even put Robbie Cano on their list whatsoever, which I stumbled across him when I was kind of looking at the further down their list to see other second basemen that maybe they missed. And I was shocked when they took Robinson Cano off the list, because I'll talk about it. I got more to say about it down the way. But as far as Adalberto Mondesi goes, he's one of these guys that's just kind of come out of nowhere. Like, I don't understand why he's being rated so highly by the prognosticators, by all the fantasy predictions. So he's played, this is going to be his fourth season now. He's played 3 seasons in the majors, played only 147 career games over those 3 seasons, so he's never made a full season to this point. Hit in that time 17 home runs, 46 stolen bases, 67 runs scored, and 53 RBI, with a career batting average of .238. So basically, to this point, he's put up good steals, decent home runs, not great runs scored, not great RBI, batting average is been terrible. It was good last year. It was .276 last year. So he's a young guy, and I don't want to jump to put him in the top just based on what we've seen so far. And keep in mind that with the Royals, this is not a team that's going to scare anybody. This is not a lineup that's going to scare anybody. They don't have any of their players from the World Series run, really, at this point. Like, now that they lost Sal Perez for the entire season, who's going to anchor that lineup outside of him and Whit Merrifield? Who else is going to hit well in the heart of that lineup? Like, I think with this guy, with Mondesi, if he hits .250, if he can hit 15 home runs, you're probably going to get about 50 to 60 runs in RBI, which is not what I'm hoping for, considering there's other players available. I mentioned it myself, Robinson Cano's going to be available a lot later than Mondesi will. And I can't even, like, give I can't even give respect to the argument that says that Robinson Cano is not going to score 50 runs and hit 50 RBI. Unless he gets hurt, that's the only way that that happens. So I'm confused as to how Mondesi's getting rated so high. What is your take on it? Because I know you ranked him a little lower as well.
Yeah, I had him a little bit lower than Fantasy Pros did. I'm going to be fair and say that Cano now plays with the Mets, so he is going to get hurt. That's not even a question. Everybody gets hurt.
Now, hang on. He used to play for the Mariners, and they're even worse. So I think he's if he's shown one thing, it means he can survive curses of teams. He can survive the cursed franchises. But go ahead.
We'll see. I think he's going to get hurt. Another year older and a different curse now. I think he's going to get hurt. But yes, Mondesi, you pretty much said everything that needs to be said about him. Just unproven. I'm going to keep piling on. He's got a batting profile that scares the daylights out of me. If you're drafting somebody to be your starting middle infielder, just because he's got some steals, you're talking about somebody whose career minor league average was 258, and he had 275 last year, and that was a complete aberration. He had a 3.8% walk rate, which is the third worst among qualified batters. His strikeout rate would be 11th highest among qualified batters. And for somebody that just has no plate discipline, it's very, very difficult to expect him to stay at the top of the Royals lineup and, you know, keep hitting 230 and expecting to keep him there. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Although they did keep Alcides Escobar there when we all knew that that was a terrible hitter, and somehow he rose up and killed the Blue Jays in the ALCS back in 2015, but continue.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's true.
I got to air those angers any time I can.
Never know.
I'm still salty about it.
I mean, yeah, never know what they'll do, but I mean, they have another speedster on the team now. They have Billy Hamilton.
Yeah.
Not that he's an amazing hitter himself, but I mean, at least they know exactly what he can do. He can get on base at a 300 rate and steal 60 bases. So yep. If Mondesi struggles, I think they won't hesitate to put Hamilton at the top of the lineup either. And at Fantasy Pros rank of 44, that's just way, way, way too rich for my blood, especially for somebody who's so unproven.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's see who else. Just on my top 10 list, I have Max Muncy at number 10. I know we talked about him last week with the first base previews. So you went over him a little bit, but I think because he qualifies at second, he's worth talking about again. Just briefly, you know, he hit 35 home runs last year in 137 games. Excellent plate discipline. He walks. Walks a ton, so you know if players in OBP leagues are going to be getting great value for him, and he doesn't swing at pitches outside the zone. You're looking at somebody who's not going to give any steals, but he's going to give you again solid on base percentage, 25 to 30 home runs, and at pass pick 100, it's great value and a sneaky pick for second base.
Yeah, The positional value, I've completely lost my words. the ability for him to play multiple positions is something that gives him a lot more value too. Like I was thinking about it at the same time. I still snuck Daniel Murphy onto my top 10, which he did make it over Muncy for my top 10 for the first baseman as well last week. So that was one of the major differences between the two of us. I think that's how Muncy snuck onto your list. But I believe in Muncy 100%. I have no fears about taking him. And if you're going to use him as your second base, you're probably going to get the best second baseman production in terms of home runs. Unless, you know, we'll see with some of the other guys. I mean, obviously, there's still Altuve and Jose Ramirez at the top there who are going to give you production across the board. But Muncy's a very good pick. He's a very, very good pick.
For sure. Now, I guess since we both listed Mondesi as our bust, but I think I'll go off and talk about one of my other, I guess, bust candidates just to even out a little bit. I'm going to go with Gleyber Torres for the Yankees. Same kind of deal as Mondesi. I mean, everybody's paying for what amounts to partial season for him, and it's a season that I'm just not willing to trust. So last season, he hit 271 with 24 home runs and 77 RBIs in 123 games. 24 home runs is the same amount that Torres hit to this point in his career. Not just 1 year, but his entire minor league career was 24 home runs. And then he comes up and hits 24 in 123 games with the Yankees. Nuh-uh. Not a chance I'm buying into that. You couldn't pay me to take him this early. He's going number 52 overall.
That's early.
Like number
that's early for sure.
52 overall for somebody that, you know, he's got some pretty bad plate discipline. So he's got a 14% swinging strike rate, which is 21st worst among bat or 21st highest, excuse me, among batters with 400 plate appearances. Just for context, Chris Davis, the bad one, has the same swinging strike rate. You're trying to tell me you're going to draft somebody that swings and misses that much in the top 50, and he's not going to give you 50 home runs? No, I can't do it. He's 197th in contact rate. There's too much swing and miss in his game for me to trust it. I think pitchers are going to figure him out, and he's going to go through extended slumps this year.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, you listed a lot of the swing percentages were what they were, but when he makes contact, it's good contact. He had an above league average hard hit rate, above league average barrel rate, above league average exit velocity of 89 miles per hour. He has the tools to be an effective hitter, and let's not downplay the fact that he's batting around scary hitter after scary hitter after scary hitter after scary hitter. He just has to get on base, just has to hit the ball in play. He can usually find ways to score runs. He can find ways to hit RBI. And if you can get 15 to 20 home runs out of him, that's all the better, because you know you're probably getting somewhere in the 70 to 80 runs and RBI in both. I mean, he hit 77 RBI last year in not even a full season. So whether you view RBI and runs as important stats as a baseball purist, that's your own choice. But as fantasy players, we do got to view those as important stats. And just based on the fact that he's batting around Stanton, Judge, you know, the catcher, Gary Sanchez, you know, all those guys, just great hitters up and down the lineup, as much as I hate to say it because we never want that team to succeed. But I have to say it. I think Gleyber Torres, while I also did rate him lower than Fantasy Pros did, I had him at number 8 on my list, I still think he's worth taking. I mean, just on the idea that he's going to be producing no matter what happens, he's worth taking at second base for sure.
I think he's worth drafting, just not as high as he's being ranked. Like you said, just being in that lineup helps, but I'm not spending a top 50 pick on somebody that's going to give me, you know, middling power and no steals.
Yeah.
It's just not worth spending the premium draft capital.
Yeah. I'm not top 5 rounds, but I would still take him in the top 10 in terms of second baseman.
For sure. Well, I agree to disagree. I'm building that Yankee tax in. People see Yankees and they draft him higher anyways. All right, let's move on to our sleepers. So I think I have the right player for you here. There's no first name. Since there's two of them, you have to list the first name here. Should know this as journalism students.
Oh, well.
Let's go through your second base sleeper.
Yeah, my second base sleeper is Lourdes Gurriel Jr. I had to give a little bit of a Toronto spin on this one because he's being valued way down at the bottom, and I don't think he deserves to be valued that low. I mean, the argument's going to work against the Blue Jays in the exact same way it works for the Yankees, because we just don't know what's going to happen with that lineup, and it's entirely conceivable that they score 600 runs this season. So even the best hitters are getting 80 RBI, you know, 60 runs scored, something like that. But with Devin Travis being sidelined with his knee surgery, I guess we probably should have mentioned that as a news item at some point, but he did have knee surgeries. He's going to be missing the first 6 weeks of the season at least. That's when he'll be reevaluated. So it's conceivable it won't see Devin Travis until June, July for the Blue Jays, which...
Travis getting hurt is not news anymore.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say it's just another sad chapter at this point in the book that's getting way too long for us to bother reading. But with Gurriel, I mean, obviously... In fantasy, we don't care about defensive value, and that's where he was getting killed last year. That's why nobody wants him on this team on the field this year, because he was just terrible at shortstop. But you think he's moving to second base. It's a little less demanding. It's a spot where you can have a good bat that can just field okay, like what Daniel Murphy turned into a career for Washington. Good bat that just can't field that well. There's a lot of external stats that aren't looking too great for him. But he had batted to a very good average last year. He hit a decent amount of home runs, 11 home runs, 30 runs scored, 35 RBI, and this was in less than a half season worth of plate appearances. So we only saw him take 263 plate appearances. you want to extend that to a full season's worth, it's conceivable. I mean, I know he's a streaky hitter. The walks are non-existent, as with so many players in the majors at this time. But if you can get a guy batting over 250, he probably could get you maybe 50, 60 runs, maybe 60, 70 RBI. Hopefully, maybe you could hit 15, 20 home runs. These are numbers that we were talking about with guys earlier in the pod that they're talking about taking the top 10. We're taking Gurriel at the end to hold a bench spot for our team, and I think he can turn into a positive situation. I mean, he's a good hitter. There's never been questions about his bat. His fielding is terrible. His glove is terrible, but I still trust him at the dish. So that's why I will take him as my sleeper, and we'll see how it goes, right?
Oh, for sure. I do like Gurriel, and I think he showed a lot of potential in the second half. I think it could turn out pretty well for him. So my sleeper is twin second baseman Jonathan Scope. You know, from 2016 to 2017, we're talking about a guy that hit 57 home runs combined in those 2 years. He fell off the map last year. Unfortunately, he was bad.
He was very bad.
He was very bad. I hesitate to blame it all on his knee injury there, but yeah, there was some struggles. But he's in Minnesota, looks revived. He's going to be in a far improved Twins lineup with Nelson Cruz and, well, eventually a healthy Miguel Sano.
Yeah,
no,
at
not
some
really,
point.
But
at some point.
At some point he'll be healthy, right? That's what everybody's been saying. But there are some signs in his profile that point to some improvement for this season. So in 2018, his BABIP, so his average on balls in play, actually dropped 70 points, which is huge, huge, massive drop. I don't think he got that bad overnight. But his profile from 2018, so last year, it actually looked kind of similar or very, very similar to his 2016, where he hit 25 home runs and drove in 82 runs. So the walk rate was the same. The strikeout rate was pretty much the same. Hard hit rate and the ground ball to fly ball rate was pretty much the same. The only thing that differed was the average on balls in play. Mm-hmm. So if you factor in a little bit of positive regression there, get back to his normal career average, then you're looking at somebody who could hit, you know, again, 25 home runs, drive in 80 at like past pick 180 on Fantasy Pros. And it's nuts to me that people are drafting, you know, like Rougned Odor over him, who's also going to hit for a bad average and get the same amount of home runs, but 60 picks earlier. I don't understand. Or Cesar Hernandez, who doesn't even have a starting job at this point. So it's confusing. I think Scope is a huge sleeper, and it can provide some massive value late in the draft there.
Now, I'm interested to hear you trashing on Rougned Odor when you've raised his teammate, Joey Gallo, who has a similar batting profile, onto the
because tallest Joey Gallo
podium.
Walks. Joey Gallo walks. Odor doesn't walk. Gallo's going to get you a 330, 340 OBP. Odor's going to stick you with a 280. Doesn't walk, and Odor's not hitting 40 dingers.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a difference.
I know. I agree. I'm just messing with
Don't
you.
Try to
Don't
bring
worry.
Down Gallo.
No, all right. I agree with you on Scope. It's just there were some peripherals that went down for him. Like the launch angle was down last year, exit velocity down last year, hard hit went way down last year, 30%. So that's getting even below league average now. I don't want to jump on his bandwagon just because I don't like former Orioles players, and I hope that they don't ever succeed. But
you just hate everybody in the AL East. What's wrong with the Orioles? They're just there.
No. I could give. We'll host a second podcast, a third podcast later today about why the Orioles suck and I hate them. But that's the fan speaking. You can still take Jonathan Scope for sure. There should be some regression to the mean for him because he was an elite hitter for the 3 seasons preceding last year when he went to Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think we can just again this is the Orioles tax. So just being in that clubhouse made you bad. I think moving to a different one will really help him out.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
So we've gone through our busts, gone through our sleepers. Let's move on to our prospects. So you have somebody who's actually been pretty highly touted out in Milwaukee, if you want to go over him.
Yeah, Kesson Hira. He's a guy that's being talked about a lot heading into this season, especially at the end of last year. He's one of the guys that really took over the Arizona Fall League last season. I believe he bat 323 in the couple weeks of Arizona Fall League. He's shown to be a very good hitter, and I think scouts never doubted the bat. It's always just been the glove. They're just hoping that the glove can pick up. But it's just been two seasons in the minors for him. But in his career in the minors, over those two seasons, he's bat 317 with 17 home runs in just under a season's worth of games, 147. And when he was being drafted, originally scouted back in 2017, people were talking about him in terms of the best pure bat at second base in the draft. The skills have translated pretty well through single A, double A last year it was, into the Arizona Fall League against very good pitching. And he's basically knocking on the door, considering the fact that Milwaukee doesn't really have a second baseman. They just
have put some respect on Mike Moustakas.
They have the fat husk of Mike Moustakas, who's still holding on to those World Series runs with the Royals. Still turning that into a job somehow.
I mean, he wasn't bad last year. 250 with 25 home runs. He wasn't bad, considering how bad that lineup was.
Well, keep in mind, we don't care about the fielding, but out of Milwaukee, for the real Major League club, they do care about the fielding, and they're not going to stand for Mike Moustakas fielding at second for too long, I wouldn't think. So look for Hiram, probably going to be up at some point this year. He's one of the more highly rated prospects in all of baseball at this point. So if you're taking him in a deeper league or a keeper dynasty league, he's one worth taking a look at in the later rounds for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think I do like him as a sleeper. I just don't know what's going to happen with Moustakas. If they're willing to sign him and put him at second, I think they're going to try that out for a while. So unless he bats really, really poorly, I think he'll stick. Anyways, my prospect is Rocky second baseman Garrett Hampson. I really like Hampson. In a short audition last year, very, very short audition, he had 48 plate appearances, hit 275 with two steals. He got on base at a 396 rate. So